Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
One of my website supporters sent me a question, which I just want to read to you. He says, two things I have puzzled about in World War II. Why did Hitler declare war on the USA and Japan not attacking Manchuria? And then he says, Japan and Germany's only chance to stay in the war. And that's a very interesting set of questions, and I can answer them. And I was sitting and thinking about it. If people have particular questions about World War II, most especially military questions about World War II, feel free to ask them. Anything military is really where my greatest interest lies. And I'm always digging into anything military, and especially from World War II up to the present time, is very, very important, because this stuff has got lots and lots of uses. And there are many things that I've not even touched on in videos. But I will tell you that I've been reading and rereading the memoirs of different German generals a lot now. And there are some other books that I still want to read. But I'm really enjoying going through in depth some of the military memoirs of generals. And it's giving me a lot of insight into many things that one doesn't really understand. And a particular area that I never used to dig into, an area that I wasn't that familiar with, was the Eastern Front, the war between Germany and Russia. The war between Germany and Russia was the greatest war in the history of the world. It was far bigger than whatever happened in the West between America and Britain and all the old Anglo lots attacking the Germans. The greatest war by far was the war between Russia and Germany. But Russia was only strong because the idiotic evil Americans were busy pumping up Russia. If it wasn't for America, Russia would have been nothing. The Germans could have conquered Russia all the way through and controlled Russia and owned Russia, actually. But it is Americans and Jews creating communism in Russia that actually turned Russia into the threat that Russia became. And that process started long before Hitler even became a figure in politics. But the war on the Eastern Front is starting to fascinate me a lot, because there are all kinds of very, very interesting things from the war on the Eastern Front that has real value for even modern times. I've even come across things where I can see parallels between what the Germans did with partisans and what Rhodesia and South Africa did with fighting here in Africa. There's amazing parallels between all kinds of things. Very interesting. The Eastern Front is fascinating me more and more as time goes by. It's absolutely amazing some of the stuff that went on there. And the Germans are just incredible. So one of the things that I've also picked up is that, of course, all these German generals and field marshals, they also write about their interactions with Hitler and their discussions with Hitler, etc. And so one gets to see very interesting close-up views of Hitler that help to shed a lot of light on how he thought and what he was trying to do. So let me answer the first question here that this reader has asked. He says, Why did Hitler declare war on the USA? So let's start with that question. That is a very important question. Just a general comment about Hitler and his politics. When I look at the kind of political moves that Hitler made, it is very interesting to see what he was thinking and what he tried to do, etc. You must keep in mind that Hitler read lots and lots and lots of books. So Hitler had opinions on people, opinions on crowds, all kinds of opinions on all kinds of topics. And Hitler was doing the best he could with what he had. One thing you must keep in mind is that it's very easy to criticize Hitler after the event. There's lots and lots of data that we now have that nobody knew about beforehand. And it's very easy to criticize Hitler on some things. I did do a video about Hitler's one big military mistake in World War II. But it's in the area of politics that it's a different ballgame. Politics is very much a double-edged sword. And Hitler finds himself in the same positions that guys like Napoleon found themselves in. Because Hitler finds himself at war, and he's got all these enemies that are popping up. But it's the Jews who are running around creating all the enemies for Hitler that they can. Jews have been working since 1935 already to create war. This is something that I've not actually even put out. It relates to some stuff that I found by the authors of the Great Jewish Mask. The authors of the Great Jewish Mask actually were putting out an interesting thing in 1935 that the Jews had already instructed the Freemasons to try to create war in Germany at the soonest that is possible. And this message already went out in 1935. They were already trying to create war by 1936. That was already the order from the Jews. So one of the things that I've come across when I read the memoirs of the generals, as they talk about their chats with Hitler and so forth, it becomes obvious to me that Hitler does not realize the insane animosity and hatred that the Jews have been stirring up against Germany. So Hitler thinks that he can just speak to the British or make some kind of deal with the British or whoever, and that it'll be politics as usual, that if he's fair to them, that they'll be fair back to him. But in actual fact, that is not so. Hitler doesn't realize that there are all kinds of evil shenanigans going on and conniving going on all over the place in order to find an excuse to fight with Germany. That between Churchill in Britain and Roosevelt in America, they are looking for reasons to set up the Germans to be able to go to war with the Germans officially. I do think that later in the war, the senior Nazis actually openly did say that there's a conspiracy against them. And they're dead right. They are totally right. There was a whole conspiracy against them to destroy them. But of course, at the top of the list, the guy who's got to be destroyed is Hitler. So just a little bit of background regarding Hitler and the Americans. Before Hitler declared war on America, there was already the U-boat war against the British, where the Germans were trying to cut off the supply lines to the British. Now, the British are a very interesting problem for the Germans, and I've actually read with great interest the various comments of the various German generals and field marshals regarding Britain. Because remember that Britain and France, at the behest of the Jews and America was also involved in this, they basically were looking for what you could call a legal trap to catch the Germans in. And the legal trap that they set up for the Germans was Poland. And they were basically trying to stir up the Poles against the Germans. And then when that wasn't going well enough, then they organized the slaughter of 56,000 Germans in Poland. Poland had a huge Jewish population, and I get the impression that the Jews in Poland are responsible for stirring up hatred against Germany. That's my suspicion. I have got tons and tons of data and even photos and things that I've gathered together over the years that I haven't even done videos about. But the massacres in Poland is a topic that I dug into quite a lot. And I must tell you that they cut up Germans and they butchered German men, women, and children like you cannot believe. So anyway, the move that Hitler made, that was finally a move that they could entrap him on. Because all the other moves that Hitler made, whether it was the Sudetenland or Austria or Czechoslovakia, every other move was very carefully calculated by Hitler, and nobody could find anything wrong with it. Let's say by international law, let's call it that way. In fact, the unification with Austria was actually a huge success, wanted by both Austrians and the Germans, because they're all Germans. I will tell you that Hitler's militarization, which they love to attack him on, make no mistake, if Hitler had not militarized and built up the strength of Germany, then the Germans would have been clobbered and destroyed more quickly and more easily much earlier. The Germans would not have lasted long. The Germans would themselves have been attacked. But you had these international Jew scum and all their buddies like Britain and Roosevelt in America, etc., and they were looking for opportunities to catch Hitler. So Poland was a huge setup, and even the French were stupid enough to go along with it. And so the French and the British then guaranteed the Poles independence. But the real thing was that Hitler only invaded Poland when finally, they were busy butchering 56,000 Germans in Poland. And you'll find that in all the Allied and Western histories, they completely try to pretend that the Bromberg massacres and those things, they try to pretend that all those things never happened. But they did happen, and they were real, and they were evil and hideous. They try to say, oh, the Germans were claiming the Nazis were creating incidents to fake it. All bullshit. They were busy cutting up and slaughtering Germans in Poland, period. And that is when Hitler had had enough. So once Hitler invaded Poland, he made another move, and his move was to take the Soviet Union, the Jewish Bolshevik Soviet Union, and make it an ally, and have this ally who also comes and seizes a part of Poland. And he does that in order to try and keep the Russians on good terms with him, even though he hates the Bolsheviks. He hates them with an absolute passion, and it's actually a total fake. He's doing this just for the sake of trying to prevent this from becoming a bigger war. There's actually a fascinating discussion in the memoirs of Heinz Guderian where he talks about Hitler actually asking him, what did you think of me striking the deal with the Soviet Union? And so Heinz Guderian says, oh, we were so happy. Heinz Guderian was a Panzer general. And Heinz Guderian says, oh, we were so happy you did it, et cetera, et cetera. And it avoids a two-front war. And it's only afterwards that Heinz Guderian realizes that Hitler's reactions, Hitler said nothing. Hitler was actually fuming at that because it was a fake move by Hitler. Hitler did it just in order to have something so that he's got the Russians on his side and the Russians can't turn against him. But he actually hates the Soviet Union with a passion. And later on in the memoirs of Field Marshal von Manstein, he talks about orders that they get where an order from the high command or whatever says that the goal is to destroy Jewish Bolshevism. They didn't talk about communism. They didn't talk about Marxism. They called it Jewish Bolshevism in the Soviet Union. And that the war is to destroy Jewish Bolshevism in what is now Russia, or what used to be Russia and has become Russia again. But the real problem for Hitler is that after going into Poland, then Britain and France used that moment to quickly declare war on Germany. So now Germany's got a new war, and his war is with Britain and France, and his problem becomes how to deal with them, and he tries peace deals, etc., which don't work. And eventually what Hitler does is he launches an invasion of France. And it's actually brilliant. I've done a video about Guderian and Manstein and Hitler and the brilliant invasion of France that caused France to be knocked out in only 40 days in a thing that just stunned the world. Nobody saw it coming. It was so brilliant. But now when he's knocked out France, his problem becomes Britain. Britain is still around. And just for the record, I've actually found in the memoirs of these German generals the actual reason why the British were allowed to escape at Dunkirk. It actually was not intentional by Hitler. Hitler did not intend to let the British escape. It was actually the result of a bunch of bungles. And the bungles worked like this. The Panzer generals were supposed to cut through France and get to the coast. But when they were getting close to Dunkirk, somebody somewhere, I can't remember who it was, but somewhere somebody came up, someone in the military, it might have been in the high command or somewhere, somebody said that the area around Dunkirk is very bad for tanks and that the tanks will get caught up in, I think, in bogs, in swamps, that the terrain is bad and the tanks could get caught up there and be destroyed. And so it was through this silly notion that was then passed higher up that Hitler then ordered the tanks to stop. I can't remember exactly the bits and pieces. I picked it up between the memoirs of Keitel and Guderian, I think it was. I think it was Keitel and Guderian, Field Marshal Keitel and General Heinz Guderian. But that became the reason. That was the real reason why the tanks were stopped. And then on top of it was another thing, was Goering. Goering reckoned that the Luftwaffe could destroy the British. So it was the tanks were stopped because of the apparent bad terrain, and Goering was going to knock out the British on the ground. And then between those two silly things that happened, the British then got a breather, and that's how the British managed to evacuate their troops from Dunkirk. Now, the evacuation of the British from Dunkirk was actually a very bad thing for the Germans, because if the Germans had clobbered the British army there, then invading Britain would have been much more viable. Much more viable, because most of the British army would have been destroyed. So that bungle makes it much harder for Hitler to invade Britain. So this then leads to the Germans doing U-boat warfare in order to cut off the supplies to Britain. So the Germans find themselves, Hitler finds himself in a situation where he's got this one remaining enemy, and that enemy is Britain. But the problem is getting to Britain. And I did read with great fascination the different accounts of the generals regarding the invasion of Britain. It is true that Hitler actually then ordered this Operation Sea Lion or whatever it was, and they started investigating ways of invading Britain. And it's actually a very fascinating topic. And then there's also the German fighter ace Galland. Galland actually reckoned the Germans should invade Britain from the air, which is something that interests me quite a bit. It's an interesting concept. But Hitler actually lets the generals look into the possibilities of invading Britain from the sea. But the bottom line is that Germany's navy and Germany's naval power just isn't a match for the British. And there are too many problems in order to transport troops and in order to survive the Royal Navy. I will tell you that in my reading of the memoirs of Napoleon, I actually found some very interesting references there, because I was very fascinated by Napoleon's attempts to invade Britain. And you won't believe it, but Napoleon was the closest to invading Britain of anybody probably since the Norman conquest in 1066. You won't believe that France is the only Western European country that was ever in a position where it built up enough strength, enough naval strength, to be able to take on the British. They were getting very, very close to it in the time of Napoleon. And I'm talking about after the Battle of Trafalgar, where the British smashed the French fleet. After that, Napoleon was still rebuilding the French fleet, and the French were getting very, very strong. The French and the Germans suffer from a particular problem. They've got very strong enemies in Europe on land, but then they got these damned British just across the sea. And the British can pour all their money and investment into a navy. So you find that the Germans and the French have got a problem.
They've got very strong enemies on land, but it's very hard to fight Britain because Britain is a great naval power. So in order for France or Germany to be able to survive, they've got to be able to fight the strongest enemies on land as well as fighting the strongest enemy at sea. And it's a very difficult thing. They just don't have enough money because their populations are so similar in size. They just don't have enough money and resources to be able to create a top-notch army and a top-notch navy at the same time. So Hitler, for example, pours most of his energy into the army because that's the real area where the Germans are burning. But can you believe in the time of Napoleon that Napoleon managed to get it to a point where the army was strong enough to fight everybody in Europe and he was getting close to having a navy that would be able to fight Britain? Plus, he had enormous harbors. He had very, very sophisticated harbors. So Napoleon is the only leader in the history of Europe, probably, who actually got to the point where he could fight Britain as well as everybody on land. He came very close to it. But that's because he was at it for longer than Hitler. Whereas Hitler had only just started militarizing a few years before, and keep in mind that the Germans were at a tremendous disadvantage when Hitler came to power. The Germans were only allowed an army of 100,000 men. Everybody else was outnumbering them massively. So Hitler just trying to get the army up so that he can defend Germany from his immediate neighbors, from Poland, France, etc. That was in and of itself an amazing achievement. But it is very fascinating, the whole issue of Britain. And so Britain becomes this damned problem. And in reading these memoirs, I find the whole strategy very fascinating. And the generals even have some very interesting discussions and thoughts about the importance of the Mediterranean. Hitler never goes into the Mediterranean, really. It's more the area of the Italians and the British. But these German generals, in their memoirs, they write some very interesting things about the importance of the Mediterranean, and especially Gibraltar. Anyhow, to get back to answering the question, so Hitler uses the U-boats to try and starve Britain out. And that is really where the conflict with America begins. Now, among the stuff that they don't really tell you much about is that when the Germans are busy fighting the British convoys and the Royal Navy, they now have all these ships and supplies coming from America. And the American Navy actually is given the order to attack German submarines. So, and this is all before Hitler declares war on America. So the American Navy already starts breaking the rules of war and actually engages and attacks German U-boats, even though America's not officially at war with Germany. So the Germans have a real rough time because the Germans are told not to shoot at the Americans, but the Americans have been told to shoot at the Germans. And all of this is at the time when Germany and Britain are officially at war, but Germany and America are not officially at war. However, the very reason why Hitler ends up declaring war on America is simply that he does it at the time that the Americans declare war on Japan. So the Americans know full well about the Japanese situation, and the Americans are actually creating a trap for Japan. And that is what leads to Pearl Harbor. The Americans are actually creating a situation to smack Japan in the same way that the British and the Americans are trying to set up Germany by way of Poland. There's been a whole lot of conniving going on where America is trying to set up Japan. And basically it boils down to them literally cutting off the oil supplies to Japan. They literally cut off the oil supplies to Japan, and the Japanese realize that they're on their way down. So they push the Japanese into a corner, and then it's from that the Japanese actually attack the Americans. And the Americans know the Japanese are coming. They know at the highest levels, they know the Japanese are coming to attack them at Pearl Harbor, but they need to pretend that they don't know so that they can then fake the outrage needed to tell the American people, oh God, look at this. The Japanese attacked us. We didn't see this coming. Look at all the stuff that they did. They killed all these sailors. They sank all these ships. Meanwhile, they knew that they were coming, but they wanted it to happen so that they could do this fake outrage and then declare war on these Japanese, etc., etc. And so that's actually how that thing happened. So it's very similar to the setup in Poland, where I suspect it's the Jews who went and got the Poles to massacre the Germans. And eventually Hitler says, stuff this, he's not going to stand by and do that. And he goes and he smacks Poland. Well, the Japanese themselves were pushed into a corner, and their corner was that they were going to be without oil. They had a very limited amount of oil left. And there was a whole bunch of stuff. They mucked around with the Japanese for a long time, and that's where Pearl Harbor came from. So now when the Americans declare war on Japan, that is when Hitler declares war on the Japanese. My understanding is that Hitler did it because the Japanese were his allies. And if you look at Hitler, whether it's the Japanese or the Italians, he stands by his allies. He doesn't dictate to his allies, but when they're in trouble, he joins them and he stands with them. And I think it's a very honorable thing to do. It's very much almost like the Romans. The Romans had a whole thing about protecting their allies. And I suspect it's a similar kind of thinking. In the case of the Italians, there are things that the Italians do that Mussolini does that are dreadful. He invades Albania. He invades Greece. And it's absolutely dreadful, it's disastrous, it's bad. He's attacking other whites, he's creating a war in Europe, he's opening up places for the British to come in. It leads to disasters for Hitler. But Hitler tries to work with his allies, even when his allies do things that are questionable. So Hitler declares war on America, but my understanding is that he does it in order to stand by his allies. And it's just one of a number of his political moves where he shows honor, he shows that he's a reliable friend, etc. But it's not always reciprocated. And in the memoirs of the German generals, it turns out that the German generals are quite pissed off because Japan does not declare war on Russia. Japan does not declare war on the Soviet Union. So
they were very ticked off with that, that Hitler declared war on America in order to stand by the Japanese, but the Japanese don't reciprocate. And that was a sore point among the German generals, and they noted it. So at the end of the day, it's one of those problems with politics and diplomacy. And I must tell you that ultimately, at the end of the day, being armed to the teeth is the best form of diplomacy. If there's anything I can say to white people, it is be armed to the teeth, because diplomacy is a very dodgy thing. It doesn't quite work so well. And one could perhaps argue as to whether it was useful for Hitler to declare war on America, because it would allow his navy and his U-boats finally to start shooting back at the Americans. One could make such an argument, and I myself have not dug that deeply into the thing. That is one of the benefits of declaring war on America, is that now the Germans can finally shoot back at the Americans who've been shooting at them. But where this thing goes really wrong for Hitler, and his declaration of war on America may well be the thing that really shortened his whole career the most, lies in the following fact. That Japan has now attacked America after much provocation, we will add. Japan has finally attacked America after much provocation. And so the real fight for the Americans should be America versus Japan, because that's where they've come into the most direct and obvious conflict. But actually what happens is that the British who have been waiting and working overtly and covertly so long with the Jews to bring America into the war, the British then get the Americans to do the following. The British managed to convince the Americans that in order to beat Germany and Japan, that the biggest threat of all is actually Germany. And so they get the Americans to prioritize their war, which should be with Japan, because they've been attacked by Japan on a big scale, that the Americans must actually make their main focus the Germans. So imagine if Hitler had not declared war on America, then he could have carried on fighting Russia for much longer. Instead, now America comes with Britain and they start fighting first in North Africa, and then they start invading Sicily and Italy, and then they bring about D-Day. So all of those bad things come from the declaration of war on America. And Hitler ends up becoming the main victim of the Japanese and the American conflict. That America now, thanks to British influence, now focuses all its freaking military energy, or most of its military energy, on Europe. And, you know, later on when I looked at how strong the Germans were in 1944, 1945, I must tell you, if the Americans had just been slower by like 6 months to a year, Hitler might have actually made it. He would have survived. If only he'd had about 1 year, the Germans might have actually pulled through. They could have survived World War II. But that fact that the British get the Americans to focus
most of their energy on Europe. That is the big killer. And so it's a real bummer for Hitler. He declares war. He declares war in order to be on the same side and in support of Japan. But he actually ends up getting kicked in the teeth on a much bigger scale. And it's due to the British generals and the British politicians. They connived with the Americans, and that is how the Americans focused all their energy on Europe, instead of going and hitting and smashing the Japanese first. So that's how it is that the war in Europe ends first, and then the Japanese are still alive. So Hitler declaring war on America buys time for the Japanese, but it shortens his time. So it's a real bummer. But my understanding is that he did it mainly in order to stand with his ally. That's the best that I can conclude. And it's no more than that. It's the same as him with Mussolini. He sees Mussolini doing stupid things, but you won't see him attacking Mussolini or leaving Mussolini in trouble. Like Mussolini, for example, invades Albania and Greece, and the Greeks actually fight the Italians to a standstill. And then later the German army comes to defeat the Greeks in order to save Mussolini. So, you know, Hitler does what he can, and he's quite gentlemanly and full of honor, I must say. I think that truly, in certain respects, he shows himself to be a cut above the rest. He's not like the rest of these snake-like, fiendish, disgusting British-American scum politicians. So let me answer the question, the final question that this supporter raised about why didn't Japan attack Manchuria. There is something that happened early on in World War II that is often written off and people don't take much notice of it, and it is this, that at the start of World War II, at the time that Hitler invaded the Russians, that the best Soviet troops, the best Russian troops, were actually not in Europe. They were actually far away. I'm not sure the exact area, whether it's Manchuria or whatever, but they were far away in the east, right next to the Japanese. So the finest, finest Soviet troops were there on the border where the Japanese were. Because remember, the Japanese had an empire that extended into mainland Asia. And what they don't mention often is that early on in the war, now remember, I'm just recording this all from memory because I'm not allowed to be at the computers, so just bear with me. I'm talking from memory all the way. But right in the beginning of World War II, there was a time, I can't remember if it was the Japanese who tried to attack the Russians. I think there was a time when the Japanese, very early in the war, I think the Japanese actually tried to attack the Russians. And they fought there on the border, and they were up against these excellent Siberian troops. And those Siberian troops tore the Japanese to pieces. They didn't fight for long, and the Japanese got a nasty beating from the Russians. And after that, the Japanese didn't touch the Russians again. Then sometime later, like a year or whenever later, those excellent troops were then moved away from the east and were moved to the west to go and fight the Germans. But that quick battle between the Japanese and the Russians early on, that might actually explain why the Japanese then did not try to fight the Russians again. Because the Japanese got their asses kicked, and it was a quick thing. It was a short thing that happened early on in the war. And then the Japanese steered clear of the Russians. And that might explain why the Japanese did not declare war on Russia. Out of interest, in 1904, I think it was, the Japanese and the Russians did fight. There was the Russo-Japanese War, and the Japanese kicked the Russians' asses back then, especially at sea. But the Japanese did try, they did try a sort of undeclared attack on the Russians right in the beginning of World War II. I'll see if I can look it up. But I know that for a short while, I don't know if it was a couple of days or something, the Japanese attacked the, I think it was the Japanese attacked the Russians, and they fought a kind of undeclared war, and the Japanese were beaten, were heavily smacked by these excellent Siberian troops. And that may explain why the Japanese thereafter didn't do anything further. And then I suspect that the German generals would not have known about that secret little war, and they can't understand why is Japan not doing anything. So exactly what went on in the Japanese high command, etc., we don't know, but I walk away with that impression that that is why the Japanese later didn't touch the Russians. Interestingly, right at the end of the war, the Russians were attacking the Japanese, and the Americans were trying to stop the war before the Russians grabbed too much Japanese territory. I went and did a bit of quick research to go and look into this issue of the undeclared war between Japan and Russia, and I found it, and I now know the actual name for it. The Japanese refer to it as the Nomon-Han Incident. The Russians refer to it as the Battle of Khalkhin Gol. So let me just read a paragraph or so from an article, then you'll get an idea of what this thing was. And I think I'm relatively correct in saying that this incident is part of the reason, and maybe even much of the reason, as to why the Japanese were afraid to attack Russia. And the Germans were encouraging and asking the Japanese to attack the Soviets, and they actually decided not to. And this could be, this plays a very big role in why the Japanese might have decided to stay away from the Soviet Union. So in this particular article, it's written by a guy called Goldman, so it could be some Jew. But anyway, I'll just read certain portions of it, because anybody can then go and dig more into maybe some non-Jewish sources to get other stuff. Because as with all these things that they write about World War II, there's all kinds of garbage and junk interpretations, and I don't really like this article because it's got all sorts of things that it says about World War II and why Germans did this and Hitler did that and Stalin did this. And I have questions about these things. I no longer just trust any old crap that I find. But anyway,
let me read enough so that you can get a feel for what happened. So the title of this is The Forgotten Soviet-Japanese War of 1939. And it says, from May to September 1939, the USSR and Japan fought an undeclared war involving over 100,000 troops. It may have altered world history. And it says, in the summer of 1939, Soviet and Japanese armies clashed on the Manchurian-Mongolian frontier in a little-known conflict with far-reaching consequences. No mere border clash. This undeclared war raged from May to September 1939, embroiling over 100,000 troops and 1,000 tanks and aircraft, some 30,000 to 50,000 men were killed and wounded. In the climactic battle from August 20th to August 31st, 1939, the Japanese were crushed. This coincided precisely with the conclusion of the German-Soviet non-aggression pact, which was signed on August 23rd, 1939. The green light for Hitler's invasion of Poland and the outbreak of World War II 1 week later. These events are connected. This conflict also influenced key decisions in Tokyo and Moscow in 1941 that shaped the conduct and ultimately the outcome of the war. Later on in this article, I'm not going to bore you with the whole article, the claim is made that over 75% of Japan's ground forces at the front were killed in combat. It also talks about Zhukov. For those who don't know, General Zhukov is supposed to be the best Russian general of World War II. I don't particularly take that too seriously. I reckon the German generals were better by far. But anyway, this clash between the Japanese and the Soviets starts in May, and a 200-man unit of Japanese go into the Soviet-Mongolian territory where the Soviets kill them all. And that's the beginning of that fight. And the Japanese keep upping the ante and hitting back harder and harder in the belief that they can get the Soviets to quit and to back down, and in actual fact, they fail. Remember that in 1904, the Japanese had actually defeated the Russians in the Russo-Japanese War. The article does mention that later on, I think in 1941, when the Germans are asking the Japanese to attack the Soviets, that the Japanese military officers, the army and the navy guys, got together and had a couple of military conferences where they discussed this issue of fighting the Soviets. And it turns out that some colonel who was very much involved in the fighting was a big proponent of rather fighting the Americans because he'd seen what the Soviets could do. What is not in this article, but I remember reading this I think in a Reader's Digest book long time ago, I think that's where I first came across it. They had their best Siberian troops there in that region where they were fighting the Japanese. So Zhukov was also there. That's where Zhukov made his name. And things went really bad for the Japanese. So they took quite a big beating with lots and lots of troops killed. And that could very well explain why the Japanese never again tackled the Russians. And then what happened was that when the German forces got to Moscow in 1941, these Russians were moving all of these forces who had experience in fighting with the Japanese. They moved all the tanks and all the divisions from the east. They threw them into the fighting in Moscow. And so these fresh forces, along with these Siberian troops, they all came, and that is how they managed to just barely stop the Germans in Moscow. But one of the things that I really hate about all these damn articles written in English, and then if it's still got this Jewy kind of a name to it, I distrust it even more, are all these claims about this is why this person did this and that's why that person did that. For example, the whole thing about Stalin being so clever and Stalin wanting to strike a deal with Hitler. The truth is that Hitler was wanting to strike a deal with Stalin, and Hitler was doing it in order to keep the Soviets on their side while he pounds Poland, where the Germans are being slaughtered, where the German civilians are being slaughtered. And there I've been reading the German sources. So Hitler did that not because it was a pleasurable thing. He did that because it was a key move that he wanted to try to make so that he doesn't get himself caught up in other wars. And it was purely just something that he did, even though he hated doing it. But he did it for the best for Germany. But even this Jewy article does mention that the British and the Americans put sanctions on the Japanese to cut their oil supplies. The Japanese were provoked into World War II. That is a fact. The British and Americans put the pressure on the Japanese so that they would run out of fuel, and that's what caused them to make their move. And then when they make their move, then the Americans and the British are like, oh God, we never saw this coming. We never expected this. This came out of the blue. Why are they so aggressive? And it's all just a bunch of bollocks. So it is quite sad that the Japanese did not go back to fight the Soviets, especially since the Soviets were under such pressure that the Soviets had already moved their best troops out from the east. So it could really have been quite interesting if the Japanese had done that. It would have helped the Germans. Not that the fighting was on such a big scale, but it would definitely have put very real strain onto the Soviets. There is more that I can say about the whole thing about the Battle of Moscow and all that. And when I was reading this sort of Jewy article about Zhukov, the guy was fawning about how awesome Zhukov was and blah, blah, blah. Oh, what a bunch of bollocks. The things that happened in Stalingrad and Moscow and so forth, let me tell you, you can take the Anglo-American Jewish version of that history and just toss it in the rubbish bin. It really doesn't mean much. They don't really know what the Germans were up to. The truth of the matter is, I'm digressing a little bit, but let me just tell you a bit more. From my readings of the memoirs of the German generals, I'll tell you this. It was Hitler who was not putting a big priority on getting to Moscow. It was Hitler who was diverting the various forces and armies to tackle other places. So, for example, the Battle of Kiev, the greatest battle in the history of the world, was something that Hitler conceived once the German troops were inside Russia. Hitler actually changed the directions of the various armies many times. So there was an original plan, but Hitler diverted the troops and changed objectives at different times. And that is actually one of the reasons, one of the key reasons why the Germans got to Moscow so late. In fact, it was Heinz Guderian, General Heinz Guderian, who was pushing as hard as he could to get to Moscow. He was actually very worried about not getting to Moscow in time. Even so, the Germans made it to the suburbs of Moscow, and they were fighting in the suburbs of Moscow. And then, of course, these other troops came from the east, Zhukov and all these others, and that helped to tip the battle at that point. But even then, it wasn't finished yet. But I'm not going to go and discuss the war and the many complexities of the war in that sense. But rest assured, the Germans did a lot better than you know. But it is a bit sad that the Japanese did not fight the Russians. I think it would have helped, definitely. But the other thing you've got to keep in mind is that the Japanese didn't stand a chance against America. That's a total setup. The Americans knew full well that clobbered the Japanese. They knew it would take about 6 months to regain the lost ground and to be able to smash the Japanese. So when the Japanese went on their attacks, the fact of the matter is the Japanese themselves knew that they couldn't beat America. The Japanese, the top Japanese strategists and military officers knew it, but they launched their attacks because they were pushed into a corner. Whereas the Germans were in a much better position. The Germans strategically at all times were much better off than the Japanese. And this topic could carry on forever, but I thought I'd just add in another few sentences from something that I saw online where some people were discussing exactly this issue of why did Hitler declare war on America. And one of the things that came through is that America was breaking the rules. As I've said, America was attacking German submarines and German naval assets, and the Germans couldn't shoot back. But I saw also a reference that America gave 200 Catalina, I think it's flying boats, to Britain. So America was already unofficially at war with Germany, and the Americans were harming the Germans, but the Germans weren't able to shoot back. So that's the one thing. And the other thing, according to one of these writers, is that Germany actually had a written agreement that stated that they would go to war. So let me just read what this guy writes, because these two short paragraphs also add to what I've explained before. So the guy writes, first, Germany had a written agreement that stated they would go to war against the US if Japan did, which was formalized on 4 December 1941. So that means that 3 days before Pearl Harbor, the Germans and the Japanese had already reached this agreement. And then the guy writes, second, as Don says, Germany was furious at the US for essentially claiming neutrality while aiding the Allies, basically the British, because it was the British that were getting all the help. The declaration makes sense if you assume that war with Japan would spread the US thin and soak up resources. Essentially, you force the US to fight on two fronts, Europe, Asia, while you focus on just one front, Europe. So anyway, that's not a bad answer from that guy. It's not perfect, but it's not a bad answer. And it helps to just clarify some of these facts. The bottom line is that America was doing lots and lots of nasty stuff while feigning neutrality. David Irving has talked about this a lot at length. So I think that kind of winds things up and gives a bit of background regarding what Hitler did and why, and also why the Japanese did not fight the Soviets. Though the fact that there was this written agreement does by itself raise questions. If Germany had agreed to fight the USA, why didn't Japan agree to that? Anyway, there's clearly a lot more that can be dug into if one really wants to. But I think I've summed it up as best I can for now.
And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, you know you don't.